I'm going to open up in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time right now. Thank you for this day. We just welcome you here right now to impart upon us revelation knowledge in this area, endowing them the skills that they'll need, the understanding and wisdom to make this information useful and purposeful in their lives and in their ministries and organizations. We thank you. We love to hear from you. We welcome you here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Kind of loud up here. And I speak soft. So, again, as I said, I wanted to maximize the time. My name is Tony Whitfield. I've been with the organization now for about 20 years. We started back in, Pastor started in 89 when he arrived here in Chicago. I came to the ministry in 91, and this was before they had television equipment. And so this is one of the things that I wanted to tell you or start with. There are three different areas I wanted to touch in. One of those areas is that when Pastor started, he did not have a television ministry, and back then all the television equipment was big. But he did not have the funds to start a television ministry. But one of the things that he did was he took advantage of the programs that are available to you in your areas as well in Chicago, and that's CAN TV and Cable Access. Both of those are kind of government-supported programs for broadcasting by the government, and what they will do is you can sign up for a class with them in your particular area or suburban area where you're living, and they will have a training session that will run you through their studio equipment, cameras, how their process for taking the equipment in and out. And right now, I'm just letting you know about this information because if you do not have any funds and you want to get on TV, this is a resource for you, and it's CAN TV. I did hand out some handouts to you. The handouts basically is a synopsis, just a brief synopsis of the different areas in the television ministry. Again, CAN TV or Cable Access, and some of these programs do cost maybe $100, $150 for the class, but they do take it serious. But after the class, you will have access to use their studio equipment and access for their producers, their directors. So if you have a program that you wanted to air, they will help you to get that on. And as well as you can appear on Cable Access as well. Now, I know you all have seen Cable Access one time or another. It is not the best quality compared to primetime, that kind of thing. But you can take advantage of it and make the best of it in using their facility. And it also educates you in terms of television and media. And right now, since it's changing so fast, you do have a ways to catch up in terms of the church. That's one of my pet peeves, is the church is kind of behind in the technology. And so we're always trying to play catch up. And one of the things is when I turn to a church program on TV, it's like the whole quality of everything goes down. And we need to, as a whole, bring it all back up and start leading in this particular area. So, but definitely take advantage of CAN TV. That's their viewership. Like, for instance, in Chicago, it's they reach 9 million homes. And you are allowed, those pastors or ministers in here are allowed to sell your tapes at the end of that broadcast. That's one of the things that they do allow. And what you can also take advantage of, because you don't have the equipment at this particular moment, is you can take that master of your broadcast and convert it into a file for the internet, for the web, and you can also appear on web. And web right now is kind of what you definitely want to take advantage of, because it'll give you immediate exposure. So you all know that. Secondly is when you start to have a small budget, you can think about hiring a production company in your local area as well. I would say that if this is one of the resources that you have available to you, if you're hiring someone, you really have to connect with them, because it's going to be your vision, your mission that they're going to have to communicate through media. So a small production company, check out their reel, their sizzle reel, or their demo reel, to see if it's the quality of work that you want and you're comfortable with their personality in terms of working with them. So you definitely want to, if you have a small budget for that, to look into hiring a production company, a small production company. So, and I'm just giving you just some quick tips in terms of how to start in the media area. So the last part is, when you're ready to buy your own equipment, you want to, one, have someone knowledgeable with you. Definitely experiment with the different types of cameras and camera equipment that's out there. The field is changing day by day. The technology is changing day by day. But there are some basics that you want to have: a camera, lighting, camera support, and audio. Those are the four areas that you'll be investigating. Do your research, do your due diligence in those particular areas. You can acquire a small amount of camera equipment to begin with for under $5,000, which is a long way from where we started. Our first equipment, our studio that we put together, was over $300,000, and it took up a whole room. Right now, today, you can have a studio on a desk, so we've come a long way. When I went out in the field, in the mission field, my first mission trip was to the Philippines, and I had 12 boxes and crates to carry along with that. And that was an adventure, because on the way back, there was a typhoon that shut down the airport, and there I was sitting on the crates with the mission team, and we were all out there and sitting in a flooded airport with no electricity. So that was fun. And that was just when I started. That was my first trip after I got hired here, and my second flight ever. So that was... that when you definitely walk by faith in this ministry, definitely it's a walk by faith. But you can get started with under $5,000 in terms of camera. Camera sizes, all the sizes of the equipment have all shrunk. When I was in the Philippines, it was a big camera, a shoulder camera. Big tapes, had just crates full of tapes. Monitors, lights. Right now, all of that can fit in reasonably small bags now, and I'm thankful for that. especially getting in and out of countries, because they will stop you and search you and question you and so forth. But those are the three ways that I would say that you should think about getting started. Can TV and it's open to anyone. The pastors can send people, volunteers, to the local station, and they can get trained on the equipment. And then you have access to the equipment and the studio to do shoots. Then hiring some production company to come out and do your shooting for you. And the last is to do some investigation in terms of cameras, in terms of lighting, in terms of audio, and camera support. Those are the three areas that you want to investigate. We started off small. Our first purchase was a Canon back in 1992. It was just a one-camera shoot, and Pastor stood right where I'm at, and the camera was right out there, and that's how we that's how we shot. And that was fun days. But now you have an opportunity, since the technology and the expense for it has come down and is much more reasonable, and the fact that the whole media is now in HD. Everything's migrating over to HD. There are still churches, unfortunately, on VHS and Hi8 and all those old formats. Do not use the formats. If you guys are beginning now, get HD now. Don't get any. If you have equipment now, you have to think about migrating to HD. Just to let you know that all the equipment that before HD, companies are not supporting the equipment anymore, so you can't get parts for them, and the maintenance is very high. So right out the box, just go ahead and purchase an HD camera, save up and purchase an HD camera. But I just wanted to give you that basic and then lend the rest of the time to answer your questions, because I thought you'd get more out of it if I find out what specifically was on your mind. But we're going to do it right after Audio Speaks.
Do you want to, since you're already doing it, you want to do it now?
What?
You want to go ahead and get questions now since you're talking?
Yeah, but we can get them both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Get them both.
Okay.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Yeah. Check 1, 2. Soundmen love that, sound engineers. My name is Wayne Stevens. I'm director of music here at Living Word Christian Center over audio and the fine arts department. And I have 3 points that I want to hit on too. I mean, you know, we've got like 20 minutes apiece to do this, and it's really not a lot of time to get a lot of information in. But what we can do is just hit some of the basics, and then we'll find out where your questions are at. And then also our head audio engineer, John King, he's back there in the back too, so he can address some things if need be. first of all, in order to get your audio to where it needs to be, or if you're just starting, or you want to do some upgrade to your audio system, if you don't know what you're doing where audio is concerned, hire or find somebody that does. If you need to go, get an outside company to come in, assess what you have, and make recommendations based upon where you're at, the room, and all of those kinds of things. What is the complement of what you have in your services, what goes on. If you don't have the personnel in your church to do that, go get somebody to do it. Look for a reputable company. You know, if they're a Christian company, that's fine. If they're not, that's fine. If they know what they're doing, get them in there. And then they can give you a true assessment. They won't try to massage your ego and all of this kind of thing, because you want the basics of what do I need to do to make this happen, to make this work. How many pastors do we have in here? We have, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did I see another hand? 6? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times in churches where we're at now, you have volunteers that are in place, and sometimes they're very knowledgeable, and sometimes they're at a certain level, and sometimes they just hit a ceiling and can't go any further. So if you're having issues and you've been trying to solve them with the personnel that you have, go actually bring a sound tech company in. Let them come over. Let them come in. Let them look at what you have. Tell them what you want to do. And then they can give you recommendations based upon that. So don't think that you're stuck with the person that you have, because in these kinds of situations, you need people that can do the job. They have the technical skills to cause it to happen, okay? Now, when they give you those recommendations, you know, divide it up in phases if you need to. Have them give you a plan of what you can do based upon the finances that you have for what you want done. But I always say buy the best that you can, and don't spend money just for spending money's sake. You know, you want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit too, but there are certain things that you want to accomplish acoustically in your building. So buy the best that you can buy, and if you need to do it in phases, go ahead and just do it in phases. You got a plan, work that plan. Don't just spend money for money's sake. You know, there's all kinds of equipment that's out there, but really have them do a good assessment on this is what will work well for you. I know a gentleman that had gotten a call from a major ministry, and major, when I say major ministry, and they wanted to redo the entire sound system in the church. And the person that had been there and had been working with them, they had called this person and wanted him to get with the pastor of the church and basically just reinforce what they're telling him. You know, we need to spend another $1.2 million so we can redo the sound in the church. And the guy told him, you don't need to spend $1.2 million to redo the sound in the church. Your sound system is fine. What you need to do is replace the sound engineers that are in the church. Number one, it'd be a cheaper route to go. And they were trying to use this other guy to get to the pastor of the church. And he said, I'm not going to do that. My integrity will not allow me to do that. And then so anyway, they went on and got the approval to get the $1.2 million sound system put in. And so they called him back. Well, we got the approval, so we just want you to talk with pastor just to back up what it is that we're saying. He said, no, I'm not going to do that because of my integrity, and I will not be involved in this situation. So sometimes people want you to spend money when it's not necessary to spend money. And I know that when we first got here, you know, there's, you know, the room that's here in the sanctuary, it's a big box. It's a rectangle box. It's kind of backwards over on how the ceiling is structured and all of those kinds of things too. And so there was some adjustments that needed to be made. And pastor asked me, okay, we need to get this done. Let's get this taken care of. Faith conference was coming up. And I'm the kind of person, if I don't know what to do, I'll find somebody that does know what to do and we can get this done. Mm-hmm. And so basically they did everything. They tweaked the entire system with electronics. Now electronics was not cheap. It was about $50,000 to do it, mm-hmm. but they were able to time align the system and the speakers and the different speakers in the speakers themselves, front to back, speaker to speaker, speaker to the floor, the whole kit and caboodle, and beefed up some things where amps were concerned. But doing it that way, we didn't have to switch out speakers. We didn't have to do all of that different kind of infrastructure thing where all this was concerned because we found somebody that could do it. They could work within the parameters that were set and the budget that was set to get it done. So if your sound engineer is not able to do it, find somebody that can. Again, and number two, buy the best that you can buy. Always buy the best that you can buy. Just don't settle. You know, one minister said, if you make a decision based on money, you've already made the wrong decision. Because that's saying, well, God's not able to supply. And God is always able to supply. So if you can buy one thing now, that's a part of that plan, do it. And then you can go to the next phase, buy another piece or another part, get that in there, do it, okay? And just work the plan, work the phases. Number three, the person that is running your system. If they only have certain technical skills and they are not able to do what's necessary, find somebody that can. Because a lot of times that's your problem, you know. And we thank God for volunteers. But the way, as Tony was talking about, as far as industry stuff is concerned, and everything's going HD and all that kind of stuff, and we want to go digital and all of that stuff here, and we will do that pretty soon. If the person is not able to handle, they're not able to handle the equipment, you need to find somebody that can do that. If you need to go outside, in fact, it may be somebody that's not in your church, but they have the technical skill to handle if something messes up, and then they can mix on top of that. You just don't want a person that's a tech guy, or you just don't want somebody that can mix and don't know how to take care of equipment if it breaks down. You want a combination of the two. And so if that person is not in your church, go find that person and bring them in. It may be a temporary thing, but just understand you need to, In this instance, I'll say this, and John knows me. You need to pay for what you want. You as pastors don't want to be frustrated. You know, you don't want to walk up in the church and wonder, how's the sound going to be today? Is it going to be different than what it was last week or even 2 days ago, last Wednesday or whatever? So make sure that you have somebody in place that knows what they're doing, because you can get the best sound system in the world and you put somebody on there and they can't run it. You're right in the same position that you were, plus you've already been shelling out money on that. And also when you're consulting with your tech person that you bring in, talk to them about everything that you want to do, not just this one part, because you want to have an integrated system. You know, I don't know how large your facility is or how small it is, but think about what you're going to be doing, point A, Think about where you're going to be a couple of years down the road. Think where you're going to be 5 years down the road if you have a plan. And that way, things can be implemented at the beginning and you can grow with what you have without having to buy and spend new stuff all over again. So make sure that you have from point A to point wherever you're going to be so that they can see the entire thing so the thing can be designed the way that it's supposed to be. One thing that Tony and the audio department, TV and audio department, with this upgrade to the system that we're doing here with HD and all those kinds of things and cameras and we're going to be doing digital and all of that kind of stuff. You know, you got to work with each department. You know, the left hand has to know what the right hand is doing. Otherwise, you defeat the purpose of doing it. So make sure that you have all parties involved in whatever it is that you're doing, be it IT, Sharon's going to talk about some things, or be it TV, or get your audio personnel involved, you know. Get your volunteers in there. Get them involved. They may have some issues or some questions on what needs to be done. But the thing is, we want quality in what we do. You know, we strive for quality where the word is concerned, and we strive for quality in other things. But a lot of times, we'll let other things just kind of go to the slide and just put up with it with inferiority, and that's not good. We know that the word is the most important thing, but if people cannot understand and hear the word, then you're just kind of spinning your wheels, you know? So we want to make sure that the audio has a preeminence in your ministry so that people can understand with clarity what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're ministering. Because if people can't hear, they'll tell you. They'll let you know. If it's too loud, you know, you can have a loud room, but if it's EQ'd right and set up right, it's all good. We brought a person in this week, and John's good at what he does. I'm not taking anything away from John. But sometimes we just come in and just kind of retweak certain things. You know, they have fresh ears on this and that and the other. And how many of you enjoyed the sound this week? I mean, it's just, it's in your face, but it's good. And so we brought this person in. And if you want me to give him his name to have him to come in, they have a whole company. They're Christians. It's a Christian company. They have several different divisions of their company. The company's name is Design 2020. You can do design2020.com to give you information on their website as to what they do. They deal with new structures. They come in and retrofit facilities. You know, they do websites, they do TV, they do the whole kit and caboodle. But we like this guy. When I was making inquiries as to who we should have to come in here, the person's name that kept coming up was Design 2020. And like I said, they're a Christian group. They cut their teeth on Kings and Priests, Pastor Bill Winston's teaching, and he said it changed the whole dynamic of their company. And they work within whatever budgets that are available to work with. You know, they do huge million-dollar budgets, and they do budgets, like they said, for us for $50,000. It could be less than that. But their end product, they want you to have the best that you can afford to have at this point in time. So find somebody like that. So number one, if your person doesn't know what they're doing, find somebody else that does. If they can't give you a true assessment of what it is that's going on in your building, in your church, go outside, hire an outside independent company, come in, and to do an assessment of your ministry. And then again, buy the best that you can afford. Don't worry about trying to get it all at once. Phase it in piece by piece by piece by piece. But make sure that you have a plan in place from point A to point Z so whoever designs what it is that you need, they can take the whole picture in view and make sure that the infrastructure is built for it as it goes along. Okay? Does that help? I know that's quick, but we got IT coming up in here a little bit. And so whatever questions that you may have, feel free to ask either Tony or myself. And again, the head sound engineer, John King, he's back there in the back too. So he can give you even greater in-depth information.
Thank you very much. Brother Wayne, I thank God for you. I thank God for your expertise. But my question is, how much expertise would you think one should have in order to really know what's wrong with the equipment before we would call somebody out? Probably would have to call you first to be there with me when that person came out.
Well, if you know that you're having a problem and they don't know it,
okay,
yeah, that should be a clue right there.
Yes, it would.
If you're having issues with your system and they don't know how to fix it, they don't know how to even call to bring someone in to fix it, you've got a problem right there.
Okay.
So that's that. You know, the level of the equipment where it's going to, people have to be able to deal with that equipment, because you would never hire somebody in the world that is less capable to do the job that you're hiring them for. And a lot of times we in the church, we have a tendency to not keep the standard up. We have a tendency to go down, and we should be leading the pack on certain things. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people take their car to the dealership and something wrong with it, they do the sound with their mouth. You know, the kind of noise they make the sound with their mouth and hope that the repairman will know exactly what they're talking about. Would you suggest the thing for if I had some equipment and the person asked me, well, what is wrong with it? Well,
you need to have somebody outside to come in and just assess the whole thing. Can you take a car to a dealership now? They're going to hook it up to a computer, and a computer will tell them what's wrong.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll sell for
and
that.
It'll save you time. It'll save you energy, too, and it'll save you frustration.
Okay.
People can, if you have somebody that's reputable and they know what they're doing, they can come in, turn the sound system on, they can tell you, this needs to be done, this needs to happen. They'll see what kind of amps you have, what kind of speakers you have, all of those kinds of things, how the wiring is.
Okay.
You know, they're able to give you a comprehensive assessment of your system.
Good.
So it would just be easier just to bring somebody in.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Brother Tony. Are you ready?
Sure. John, you got something else you want to add to that? Okay.
Okay, Brother Tony, I heard you mention about the cameras and about CAN TV and how if you went through, you took a class there, a training session there, they would allow you to use their equipment. Now, in using their equipment, would that equipment have to remain on their property while you're using it, or would you be allowed to, take it out so I could come where you is or something like that?
In some cases, it varies from the station to station, but in some cases, you can sign out equipment. They allow you to sign out the equipment.
Okay.
But you'll have to bring it back.
Oh, but, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That sounds like it's fair. Okay. All right, that's it. Thank you, Brother Tony. Thank you both.
We have one back here, Pastor.
Thank you. I think it's on.
It's on.
Yeah. Thank you. When you guys started out, it was the tape ministry when it started out, or did you guys start out?
When you're starting out, tape is cheaper, so you always start with
the tape ministry.
Tape ministry, absolutely.
We got Kingdom, which is one of the distributors. They're calling us all the time saying, get this intro package, and we don't know everything to do to start out. Should we just call Kingdom and they come out and show us or something?
What are they presenting to you?
How to do the DVDs, the CDs, duplication equipment, and all like that.
You can always have them come out and look at what they have and what they ask how much it's costing. Because if you want to know if you're in the ballpark or where you need to go. But definitely also understand how you work and your ministry. Every ministry is different. Every ministry has different goals, different mission assignment. You want to custom your equipment and your environment based on what you're doing, mm-hmm. not so much on what someone else is doing. So you want to be careful it's good to not reinvent the wheel, but you also have to customize the wheel to your environment and your workflow. So you definitely take a look at it, see how it can integrate, how you can use what they have, but also find someone who is also familiar with what you're trying to do. So if they do come in, you can have an outside ear.
Well, the main thing is we want to record and duplicate the CDs of mm-hmm. the sermons mm-hmm. and the Bible studies, and mm-hmm. then we eventually want to go into the DVDs, the video in it, mm-hmm. so we can...
People like
seeing stuff now.
And normally that is the road to travel, first audio, then video.
Mm-hmm. And then also, see John. John travels. He goes to different churches around the country. John King back there in the back. John, raise your hand. And he can give you some good information. And he can come down there and assess what's going on with your system. And he can definitely help you to get started. with the basics of what it is that you want to do. So be sure and see John. John, you have cards on you by any chance?
No, I'll give it to
me. Okay, yeah.
And let me just say to the pastors that if you are getting ready to integrate into television, get the congregation, get your volunteers, get the house together and in order, because you're going to be presenting that to a new audience. And so everyone has to be involved in that. Your volunteer staff, your staff, everything is integrated. Everyone has to get along. Make sure everyone understands that, because if you're going to go on TV and you have guests and we're shooting the audience and we're shooting the environment, you don't want to have people coming to your church and having a bad experience with any part of their engagement in that service for that day. If they go park the car and the attendant didn't pay attention to them, or the greeters were insulted them, or the ushers didn't rub them the wrong way, then when by the time we come shoot that individual for TV, we're not going to get a jubilation of joy from their face. And so you got to realize and understand that it's the total organization that you want to be accountable for. Okay.
Yes, my question is, when you're starting a TV ministry, how do you go about getting the airtime space?
Airtime, here we have a marketing department, and they contact the stations. You can always call any TV station and ask for a rate sheet. Mm-hmm. It's called a rate sheet. And they will send out a rate sheet to you, and it will tell you what's available in terms of air space and the cost for that time. And it depends on where you're positioned. TV mm-hmm. time is expensive. Now, TV is good, but it's not the only way anymore. And so, especially starting out, TV is very expensive. Everything about TV and audio is very expensive. You have to maintain the equipment. You have to take care of it. It costs money. Airtime costs a lot of money, and especially depending on what channel you're on and who you're coming on before or after. So. Mm-hmm. You want to not depend on that alone. Right now, when Sharon comes up here, please bombard her with a lot of questions on the internet and how to take advantage of. Hi, Sharon. To take advantage of the internet. I mean, it's such a high level of competition out there now that there's so many ways to get your message out now that TV. Primetime TV is not the only way, and they're really having a difficult time in terms of maintaining their audience because of it. So if you're starting out, definitely take advantage of starting a TV internet show. Build your audience that way. Mm-hmm. Build some resources, build your income so that you can migrate to cable TV or to a primetime station. But definitely internet is definitely something you want to take advantage of now, because right now it is relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
Now, regarding Mr. John King.
It's coming behind you. Microphone right there.
Regarding Mr. John King, you were talking about assessing the system and all. Can he be, which is easier for him to be reached by email, or is there a phone number or anything?
Okay. I can.
Okay.
Manifest It Works at msn.com.
Manifest
It Works.
At MSN?
Correct, at msn.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I even know pastors that are opening up their laptops, and they're doing video stuff right on the camera out of their laptop, putting it up on the web, you know, and are getting great audiences. You know, and then they'll maybe go to a one camera shoot and then they'll put it up on the web. But it gets your people acclimated to that kind of a ministry instead of going full bore, you know, at the very beginning.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. It's totally wide open now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally wide open now. Even though it is the internet, you do have to have some type of strategy about it. You still have to market yourself. You see, the internet is huge. It's an ocean. And just because you're out there, you got to let people know you're out there and how to find you. So it's not just that you have a website. Social media now is all one package.
Yeah.
So you have to have the website, you have to have Twitter account, you have to have Facebook or YouTube. So you have to kind of go for it and get engaged into it. And I think that's one of the things that's holding back a lot of the church, because of we get caught in a lot of tradition. And our kids and children are flying right by,
yeah,
and
sure.
You can't talk to them now without a phone, because now you got to text them, hey, come downstairs. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know. So you definitely want to and take some internet social media classes and courses. Again, Sharon, just ask her. She can definitely give you information on that. Hi, Sharon.
And I know we're getting close to Sharon's time. Okay, we have another question.
Okay.
Hi, glory to God. Thank you, brothers, for the information. Mm-hmm. This is phenomenal, and the information that you provided us as well. Before my husband went into ministry about 15 years ago, I worked in Christian television. And so I just really wanted to make a comment to the audience as well, piggybacking on what you've stated, that if anyone is really interested in going the TV route, don't be afraid to negotiate. Again, we know we don't have the spirit of fear, but we have power and a love and a sound mind. And so when you are going out to, you know, solicit to, TV time, by all means negotiate. I just tell the body of Christ, negotiate, because of the economy, and because if you really want the word out in that venue, negotiation is the way to go. Be spirit-led in all that you do.
And also one last thing I want to say, maybe Tony would have something. Come on up, Sharon. We here at Living Word, we're here for you. We want to help you in any way that we possibly can. So if you have any questions about anything, or if we can assist you in anything, do not hesitate to either call customer service. They will get the information to the appropriate departments where they need to go. And we'll give you a call. We'll help you out in any way possible. We get calls all the time. People come up and want to see all the time what it is that we're doing. So we're here to help you, to aid you, to assist you in getting your vision going, too. Okay?
All right.
All right.
All right.
Sharon.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome.
Tony got you guys all ready for us. Okay, I'm Sharon Stewart. I'm the IT director for Living Word Christian Center and Bill Winston Ministries and related entities. Today I brought some friends along with me, Joe DiCenzo and Melissa Holtrop, both from Ingenuity, right? And these guys are some experts in website design. And so that's why I brought them along, to give you guys some resources. So when you came in today, you were handed off probably several handouts that we gave you. And we're not going to go through those handouts. We don't have enough time to do that. But what we want to do was give you some resources that you could take along with you. And so some of those things may or may not be what you're looking for. And that's fine. If that's not what you need, you can drop those handouts at the table, and ask, you know, we want to stay green, so we don't want you to have to carry a lot of things that you don't need. But we didn't know exactly what you may need, so we kind of covered the gambit. So you have some handouts on website, on podcasting, e-commerce. Also, we gave you, what else did we give?
Streaming.
And SEO, search engine optimization. So again, what we want to do is do the same thing that Tony and Wayne did, and just kind of sort of have an open forum, because like I said, we got a little bit of time, and let's see if this works for us. Some fun. It's not working. There it goes. Okay. There we are. So given 35 minutes, it's like, okay, we're going to do website on speed, right? And so what we want to do is just kind of figure out what you guys need. So ask us the questions that's going to benefit you, okay? No, I think they want you to record it, Pastor Jack. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for this opportunity. Our church just set up our website, and it's the basic website. It have everything on it. We do have to add Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and such. But my question is, how do you get into webcasting? Am I saying that correctly? I know podcasting and just the basics of it. My other question is, your commercials that you aired during our breaks, how do you do those in the simplest form?
Okay, so now the commercials that we aired during break, that was Tony. Tony does all that. That's his department. They do all of the video. Because you asked a couple of questions there, you wanted to know about how do we do broadcasting. One of the handouts you got was on live audio. Did you see that one? Okay, so it has live audio video streaming. And as Tony has said, one of the things he just said, you know, ministries kind of are very traditional and we don't do certain things. And we're saying just get out there and do some things. Do the audio video podcasting. Do the streaming video. We gave you a nice handout by our actual broadcast company, which is netbroadcast.tv. Also, V and Nicole on my team have some CDs that Net Broadcasting gave me to pass along to you. So if you're thinking that you want to get into either audio streaming or live video streaming, we have some toolkits. And so you're welcome to take one of those. And it has the tools on there that you will need to do video streaming. Okay, because there's software that you need. So first you'd have to, one, record it. You'd have to have somebody over there with a camera that records it, or somebody in the audio department that's, you know, recording that information. And then once you get it, then you need to change that into a digital format and encode that so that you can stream it out. And so that's what this handout that we gave you on the live audio video broadcasting, it has steps on there. The other neat thing besides that company giving you that toolkit was they offer to churches free audio streaming. So if it's not in your budget to do that, you can take them up on it. Okay, they'll give you free audio. Okay, so you can use that audio. Once they encode it for you, now you can take that audio encoding and you can make a podcast out of it. Okay, so that's a start right there. It doesn't really cost you anything. Okay, it's called netbroadcasting.tv. And it's in that handout we gave you. Their website URL is in there. And then the toolkit is over here. We'll have those for you to take. It's on a CD, and it has the software on it. Okay, and then you also have a little spreadsheet at the back of there that gives you a description of what all of those, what the software is. So it identifies it for you. Okay?
My question was the same.
It was the same. Okay, sure. Net Broadcasting TV is a great resource. Look at that document. Look at the toolkit. And then if you have questions, you guys can contact us. But that would be a great start. Okay?
Thanks again.
Sure.
Hi there. I'm just starting a new ministry, and I'm looking to put a budget together. So I was hoping that somebody here at the church would be able to give me some outlines of how I could develop a budget plan and an estimate for a website to get going.
Okay. You want to take that one, Joe?
Sure. Actually, what I'd point you to is the handout that we have called Website Process. And I think the reason why I point you here, we don't have anything that's specifically about how to budget for a website, but I think it's a great question. If you look through the website process, you'll see that there's basically five steps to the process of building the website. It starts on the first page, experience analysis. Second step is experience design. Third step is interactive development. Then the last page is collaborative deployment and investment optimization. Those are fancy terms for basically planning, building, and executing your website. And if you were to take the time, maybe 10 minutes, to walk through this document and ask yourself, where can I do some things, or where can my ministry do some things through volunteers or through staff, and where are we going to need some help? And I would start by looking at that process and saying, okay, we can probably put an idea together of what we want on our website, right? You might be the best person to put that together. You might need to talk to somebody about it. But you're going to be bringing the ideas to the table. So there's going to be some participation there. But when we get down to development and coding and building the website, whether it's a CMS, a content management system like WordPress, or if it's custom coded in another way, that is typically when you have a startup, not going to be something that you would do and need to budget for that. So what you can do is, I think the plan would be to, well, the plan is the plan, is to get the plan down first. And I think if you were to connect with a provider of web, you could talk to us or Sharon's team, some easy ways to put down what you're looking for, and then take that to a website company and ask them to put together their estimate for you. And that would be the best way to get your budget number, because if you think about the web process, we kind of talk about a couple of metaphors, and one of them is a house, building a house. So you want a budget for a house. Do you want a two-story? Do you want a ranch? Do you want a cottage? Do you want a 17-story condo building? And so right, and you just kind of build. Yeah, so as you kind of start, right. She said start with something small. Mm-hmm.
I want to be sure that we put something in place so we don't have to recreate the wheel again.
Yes.
And not waste any money. I'm a very frugal businesswoman.
Yes. So. And that's why I love that. And that's because if you're willing to put that planning time in and think through, you may not launch with a store, but you might want a store someday. You may not launch with live broadcast, but you might want to get there. You want to know what am I going to end up with so that my house looks complete when I'm all the way at the finish line and I've done all the phases. When you were able to sit down and put that plan together, you can say, okay, this is the full plan. This is where we want to go. But we're going to start with this phase right here, just this part. But if your website company knows you're heading towards a larger house, if you will, we can build that in anticipation of that. It's kind of like when you see somebody who puts together a house that they plan to put an addition on versus one that they don't, you can tell. And so that's where you want to have that plan together to know where you're headed as your global vision is laid out.
So my bottom line is, I'm a bottom line girl, like Pastor is a bottom line guy. Is there some help that you can do, Sharon, with my situation? I'd be happy to pay you hourly to assess what we think, assess where we think we're going with this.
Okay, so this is what we would do. I would defer back again to a company that does this. I want to give you this as an example, because we have so much going on in the ministry. I can steer you to the right people and help you with resources, but as opposed to my team working on doing that, we don't have the resources to do that. But one of the things that I will tell you is what Joe just told you was the planning is huge. I brought this along as an example. This is our BWM website. This is a process I went through to create our BWM website. Okay? Planning was the key thing. It's just like he said, we knew we wanted to do podcasting. We didn't launch with podcasting, but we built podcasting into our plan. Mm-hmm. Okay? If there's things that you know you want, because you said you're bottom line, what you want to do is say, I have $10,000 to work with a budget, and this is what I have to do. So with my $10,000 budget, what can I do? Knowing that later on I want to do e-commerce, I want to do podcasting, I might want to do web streaming, so that when you have a Joe or Melissa, these kind of folks who do this, this is what they do. They build websites, or they help you design the websites. Okay, what they can do is say, I know that you want to have e-commerce in there, but right now with your $10,000 budget, we may not want to build an e-commerce right now because e-commerce may take up your $10,000 budget in itself. Mm. Okay, so maybe what we want to do right now is do something simpler and do a standardized shopping cart that I don't have to expend money for. And one of the documents in here, as an example, was PayPal versus a custom e-commerce. Because PayPal would be very, very inexpensive. A e-commerce solution that you, with a shopping cart, could be $10,000 on its own. It just kind of depends on what you're trying to do and what your end goal is. Mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and so what
exactly.
We'd be happy to talk to you to kind of help steer you in the right direction.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
But then I defer you to a company to say, okay, what is it you're trying to do? Let's get you to the right resources.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is just talk to us afterwards and connect with Mel, and we get you set up and have that conversation.
Terrific.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I know most of you guys are Illinois. We're Mississippi. And someone said, we can set up your website for $400. And we said, all right, you're going to set up the website. And they want a lot of pictures. They would put a bunch of pictures on there. And then we said, well, can we like have some music? And they said, well, we think you can. And then I guess we would use PayPal for people that want to do contributions instead
right.
of trying to have something elaborate.
Right.
So with that, does that number sound frugal, or does it sound impossible for what you guys do?
Are you saying that your $400 is a true number?
They're saying $400. Somebody offered that, and they said they would design the web page, and we give them a bunch of pictures. Okay. They put the ministry on there and stuff like that.
Okay, well. Okay, I look over to Joe and Melissa. Okay, sure, go right ahead, and then I'll jump in.
Usually you get what you pay for, so what'll happen is that you'll make a lot of trade-offs in that situation. That's a business relationship that's in the favor of the company, and the reason for that is because they're going to ask you to choose a template that they've used for 100 other people. They're going to ask you to give you photos that they're going to place in spots that are already pre-set. And there's going to, even if they say it's a custom design, there is going to be, it's custom in the fact that I've used your photos. But in terms of your layout, it's going to be very similar to other sites that you'll see. Now, the question is that right fit for you? I can't answer that question, but I would say that on the whole, if you're trying to build a ministry that's going to have some longevity to it and you want to really make a mark in whatever space you're in, if you're in ministry or if you're in higher ed or you're in healthcare, these are questions you have to ask yourself. If you're going to make a statement and you're going to build a brand in that market, you're going to have a harder time having people go to your website looking at you and saying, well, I could tell this is out of the box cookie cutter, versus saying, what is the unique calling of your ministry, and say, what should the web experience look like for your particular ministry, and then go and reevaluate the $400 company and say, do they give me what I need? Chances are they probably won't, but it might be the right decision at that moment because you just need to get on the web.
Right.
And I've planted a church in the last, in 2010, I helped plant a church, and we were the same way. We had very little cash on hand, and we had to make some consolations in order to get a web presence up and going. So
right, and that was the point I was going to say too. Is again, is getting what you pay for. Maybe this is where I am. I need to start somewhere, and that's okay. But understanding what you're getting for your money is making sure that that is of value to you. If I only have $400, I want to do the best I have with my $400. I want to understand what my $400 is going to buy me. Because you don't want to get into the assumption that I can buy this system and it's going to do all these wonderful things for me, and it doesn't. So if I want to come back and I want to change that picture, how much is it going to cost me the next time I have to go back and change the picture? Because it may be every time I want to make a change, I have to go back to you and I have to pay you something. Or we have this promo that we want to run, or we want to do this. Now I have to pay you every time. Because who's going to maintain that? Is there any kind of way that I can go in and I can load a picture myself? Maybe a question that you want to ask them. If I want to change the music on there, do I have to come back to you to change that music on there? Is there a way that I can upload that music on there? If I want to just change the wording because I have a new message that I want to put out there, do I have to go back to you to change that message to do that, or can I upload it myself? So there's some things to consider.
Right.
It's a content,
that's content management.
Right.
My question, does Ingenuity, would you do that in terms of building the site and then managing the site as well?
Yeah, we basically are, what I would say is the thinking behind the plan. So to your question, that we're the thinking behind the plan, and we're all the way through to the development. What we've chosen as a company is to partner with developers because the market is up and down, and sometimes websites are gonna have a profit margin, and sometimes they're not, and sometimes there's work, and sometimes there's not. And so what we've done is we've partnered with developers. So we basically can help walk you through the planning process and then walk you along with the developer, walk you through to launch. And so we can basically quarterback the project for you. So yes, in a kind of a hybrid way, we're kind of unique in that fashion. So, okay. And what that allows us to do as well is we don't have to say, well, our developers develop on this platform only. We say we have a series of developers that say, you know what, for you, it would be best to go with a lower cost option, or here we need to go with a fully customizable option. And we have a lot of flexibility as a company that way. So.
It's something you can basically expand upon. You can grow that website down the road.
Exactly. Yep. And that's, the beauty of the planning process. If I know that you're going to go to a two-story someday, we can build the first floor only as long as we know the second floor is coming. It'll look like it's integrated. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me ask a question, please. Are you familiar with, first of all, are you familiar with Talk Fusion?
I've heard of Talk Fusion.
Yeah.
You've heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far, I know it's an email-driven type of system. Now, when you're talking about doing something like that, your recommendations are what? See, because this is something that you buy to actually... to attach to your website, if I'm not mistaken, or you attach it to emails. It doesn't have to go to a website, is that correct?
Right.
It could just be standalone, email driven.
Right.
Is that something that you recommend, or is there lesser expensive ways to do this as far as getting information out there, as far as almost like live streaming or things like that?
Right. It goes back to what is your goal? Is your goal to send out an e-blast with a video in it, or is your goal to send an e-blast and send somebody back to your website? You have to work towards your end goal. What is it that you're trying to do? So am I trying to stream out from my website, or am I trying to get people to come back to my website? What area are you trying to address? So based on that, then you can talk about what tool is going to get you there. Okay. So I don't know if you're just trying to... What are you trying to do with that?
Well, a number of things, basically both of those. And I'm just trying to figure out, because me not knowing anything about what you guys know, I'm just a person that wants it to happen. I'm a pastor, and I want it to happen.
You want all of those things to happen.
Yeah, One of the things
you want to do is you want to have that website because you want some place where people land. You heard Tony and Wayne, they were talking a little bit in the end towards social media. Your social media should be driving people back to your website too. Your e-blast should be driving people back to your website. You're informing them and getting people connected to you. That's ultimately what your goal is, right? You want to get your message out there.
Right. Well, so, that and as well as that generation that is pretty much the unreached generation, that 30 and under. You know, I want to be able to touch them by way of the Twitters, the Facebook, and all of those
connecting.
Things. I think that's where, you know, how can I maximize my efforts by, you know, with not, you know, of course I don't have a budget that is a Bill Winston's budget. I have a Ron Phillips budget, which is very little. So what I'm saying is that I want to be able to do some of the same things without having to spend the money when there's access to do it.
Right. There's lots of, you want to jump in, there's free resources out there.
Yeah, and this kind of combos with the $400 question, not the $65,000 or whatever that used to be, the $400 question. I think what I would caution you with is this. You want to look at and have conversations with people that are understanding your goals of what you're wanting to see happen, and then offering a solution back that has the flexibility to provide those things. What you don't want to get caught into is developing a website and then adding things to it kind of piecemeal, because what you'll end up happening is a website that eventually will break. And it'll eventually become very slow to load. It'll become very cumbersome to update. And all of a sudden, you'll say, "Well, I'm capturing all these emails, but I don't know where they go."
And I think that those are that's something. So here's an example. WordPress. You might be looking at WordPress and say, the reason why I'm suggesting that is because there are hundreds of plugins. And a plugin is an add-on to WordPress mm-hmm. that are built for WordPress.
You're saying Word?
WordPress. Yeah, WordPress is, it started out as a blogging tool. It was it's free, actually. It was a free blogging tool.
How do you get it?
Go to wordpress.org or wordpress.com.
WordPress.org.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Okay. And you'll look at that, and the key here is that you're going to see that there's a lot of plugins. You might not see it on that. You will see it on that website. There's a lot of plugins that are available. But what you'll need in order to execute a WordPress site is a WordPress developer, someone who actually works in WordPress and works that. Now, here's the key. You said your budget was lower than Bill Winston.
Right.
So the WordPress option becomes more reasonable for you because you're not having to pay all of the extras for custom development or for a higher-end content management system. It's already built. There's going to be cancellations you have to make and trade-offs you have to make, but at the end of the day, what you need is simply a person to allow you that can actually execute the site you want to do, and because they don't have to, because they don't have to build the plugin's there. They just plug it in. That's the idea. So then it's a cheaper route to go.
So the WordPress developer is the
key, and yeah, and we work with WordPress developers and have that as an option. Yes, yeah, that's part of the developer base that we've built.
I have to leave, so how can I get in touch with you through this information?
Just connect with Sharon, I guess.
Yes, you can connect. Being Nicole, we can give you a card and we have information. Okay, I just want to add one more thing to your question. I don't know what your pastor. You had said you want to connect with the 30 and under. There's things out there that you can do to connect with them that doesn't cost you anything. There's GuideTube, there's YouTube, there's Twitter, there's Facebook. Those things are free. They're on there all the time. So get your messages. There's Vimeo. Get your messages out there to them. Doesn't cost you anything to do that. Well, but you know what? You can video people. Tony has said you can, with a regular camera, with phones, people are video getting messages out there. There's, what are those? The flip cameras, $200 or $150 bucks or something like that. And you plug it into your computer by USB. You can videotape yourself that way. It doesn't have to be a big budget. Okay.
The question that I ask, and I think that it's been asked, but you're not offering amounts, do not think that we're holding you to these amounts. Sometimes in budgeting, you need to think parameters. So that's what we've not been able to hear thus far. So for example, let's take his 400 and let's put that at a bottom somewhere. Then can you give us something that we can think about on this end that may be possible in terms of a website?
Well, I mean, let me give you an example. When I looked at websites, I'll use BWM for an example. There's nowhere meaning this is what we paid or anything. But when I was getting estimates for the things that we wanted, I had estimates that ranged from $10,000 or $20,000 up to plus $100,000. Now, how could you be in such a high difference of ranges? And I'm telling people the same things. So it also comes to what the provider will do, the quality of that service, who's offering it, because some people will say, I can do your website for $400. Somebody will tell you, I can do it for $20,000. Can both of them do your website? Surely they can. But what are you going to get?
Right. And you've given us the important questions to ask about what we're getting. I just wanted to hear money numbers.
Okay. So, I mean, you can range. It could be $100,000 plus, or like we said, $400.
I would say we've done several sites that have been on the small side. In the last year or so, 18 months, and then we've done really large ministry websites. One of the clients that we've worked with for the last 4.5 years is Moody Bible Institute here in Chicago, working through some of their web experiences. And what I would say is to really just get down to brass tacks and say what I'm thinking in my head, you probably need, for a ministry website, you probably need to be thinking $5,000 to $10,000 to get off the ground, okay? And I would say probably closer to 10 than 5, depending on how much clarity you have about what you want. Now, if you're talking about Moody's type stuff or even, you know, bigger than that. We've obviously the numbers can go way more than that. So it's just dependent upon your vision and what you're needing to do. Now again, phase one might be 5 to 10, but your full vision might be 25, might be 30 or 50. It just all depends on your vision.
I have a question.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Now, how do you get all of the social media on your website? Because I've been trying and I haven't been able to get it on there. You know, just, I know you can put the icons, but how do you connect there to it?
Sure. There's a great, it's another plugin. It's actually a little application called Add This.
What is it?
Add This, ADDTHIS.
Oh, okay.
.com. And they'll actually, you just put in what you, basically you put in what you want, they give you the code to put on your website, and it allows you to put in Facebook liking, sharing, and Twitter connection and things like that. You may need a technical person to actually put it onto your website, but it's something that we use it all the time because it's easy and it's quick and it doesn't cost a lot. It just needs to be kind of looked at in terms of how it integrates on your particular site. So, and I think it's Add This, it may be Share This, but those are both, I think, actually similar type tools.
Thank you.
Again, in regards to the $5,000 and $10,000 budget, we'll stay in that realm, approximately how long would it be up and running from start to finish for an average website?
Is all of your content ready to go?
We don't even know what, we do have a couple of things. When you say we have the name, we purchased the name, we have a DVD.
Okay.
And there are some things that we need to add to it, you know, word copy and
So you need to develop a copy, and you need to develop some of the actual page content that would appear. Mm-hmm. If we've got a focused group of folks, you know, if we're really focused, in the case of Moody, we actually helped write some of their initial pages, you know, for them. So we understood what their brand was, what they were trying to do in their particular space, and helped write some of those. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the average, if things are moving in a kind of clicking along, I would say a 12 week process, 12 to 16, so 3 to 4 months.
To get it up and running?
To get it up and running. I would say, and here's what, is that fast or slow?
Very slow.
Well, good. I think to understand that, you've got to understand what goes into the process. I think I see you're starting to understand that there's more to it than maybe what everybody is thinking.
Well, you know, the only reason why I say very slow is because just a family member who's a young girl from college, she put her mother's website up in 2 days. So I don't know where 4 months would come in.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely put a website up in 2 days too.
And how what sacrifices would that website be making when you did a two-day one?
Yeah, you would be using all kinds of off the shelf stuff that's not based on a plan.
So are you really looking for different search engines so that name would come up quickly? Is that what's prolonging it, or are you paying? I mean, what is the delay? What are some of the things?
Sure,
that
I would point you back to the website process. You can jump in anytime.
Okay.
And the website process document, and look at that. So let's say we talk today.
Yeah.
When are we going to sit down and talk about your website? Next week?
Oh, what?
Play. Let's just role play here. So we sit down next week.
Definitely.
We get your vision next week of what you want to do. Okay. Now, we can't build it yet. We're going to go ahead and come back the following week with a flow chart of what it's going to look like and what it's going to contain to make sure that you're in agreement, that we heard you right. Now, we're already at 2 weeks.
Okay.
So then we're going to say, all right, you know what? That sounds good. You're like, hey, this looks great. Awesome. Then we're going to start to work on what we call wireframes. And wireframes are basically looking at where on the site, on the page, do you want a video? Do you want video on the front page? Yes or no? Yes, we do. How big? Do you want it really big? You want it half the size? And wireframing is like the blueprint for your house. So let's just say that takes a couple of weeks. We're at 1 month. We take another week or two to do the design of your site. And we might work with some of the template options that are out there. If we're working with WordPress, there's thousands of templates out there to choose from. We might look at that. Then we might take a couple of weeks to finish up your content. We're at 2 months.
We're going to have you beta test it. That might be a week or two to say, oh, you know what? This isn't how I wanted it worded. I want it worded this way, or maybe this is how I would like it. That picture is a little bit darker than I thought. I want that lightened up, these types of things. So really, at that point, we're almost to 12 weeks. So I just quickly, because we're running out of time, just kind of walked you through that process. Now, what your friend's daughter did is go to GoDaddy, or go to
or she
Network Solutions, and just go, you know, website tonight, and you can go ahead and just select, I want, you know, five pages, I want it with this layout, and I want to go. You can definitely do it that way. It's just, there's not, it's kind of like, you know, you can go out and rent an apartment right now and live in it all, you know, for the next year. It's just not going to be what your vision is, and it's not going to feel like your house.
Right.
Thank you.
And the one thing I would like to add to what Joe was saying, too, is we get that, too, right here. I need a website, and can I have it tomorrow? And I'll go back, and I say, no, you can't have a website tomorrow, but we can sit down and figure out what you want to see in a website. And we have it in our entities here. And let's talk about what you want to have in your website. Well, I don't know what I want to have in my website, but I want it tomorrow. Okay, and so when we start talking about it, we want to plan about what do you want to see, what's the vision, what's the mission, what do we want to accomplish there? You know, it's like Joe said, we're building a house, okay, but we want to build it in a week, and they'll come back and say, okay, I know my friend's daughter or somebody else, they built a website in 2 days or 3 days. What is the difference? It's a template. It's not going to have longevity. It's not going to give you exactly what you want. And you're not going to be totally satisfied with it. And if we do all the things that you want to do, you're going to quickly find out that it's a longer process than 2 days. The other thing is, a lot of times when you see those sites that go up in a day or two or a week or two or even a month, is that it is a totally templated something. And it may not even be a website. It may be like a social media page. And you only work within the parameters that you have there. There's nothing there that you can customize.
But I would say that the truth of the matter is, to your point, is that thousands, maybe more, thousands of people do what you're talking about every day. So what we're holding up is a standard of how to think about the process of building a website. But if you were to say, or if anybody was to say, can I do that? You can.
Absolutely.
I would say most likely you're probably going to spend more money that direction because you're going to be building it as you go. And you're going to realize, oh, you know what? This is what's working. And there's maybe something to be said for that in your particular situation where you want to be able to quickly change things on the fly. You can have a WordPress site up in, you know, over this weekend. You could have the site up by Monday, and it would be there, and it would, you know, may have some pictures missing, and maybe some of the text wouldn't be perfect, or the logo might be a little stretched, and it might not match the colors and things, but it's going to be live, and it's going to be out there, and you can push people to it. So I think it's just more of the, you know, we kind of stand on the ground of being very strategic about it and thinking it through, but that's not to say that you don't tackle it that way. You hire somebody, you pay them hourly, and you just say, you know what, let's go, and let's see what we can figure out. I know Sharon's got stories about how that happens, just even with the ministries you serve. So
absolutely. And they're not all great. But but here's the thing is what our user experience is. I mean, what is it that you want the user experience to be? Because one of the things that we're very happy with, and I'll go back because Bill Winston Ministry is the latest website that we did, and we did it the right way. And it was a longer process, and people were not as happy about the long process, but they're happy with the end result. Because we can do wonderful things with this website. Quickly, when marketing comes and says we want to do a promotion, we can do that. We can make it happen. Or if we want to do, like at Christmas, we did that, what was it, the 21-day. And they came up with it on a Tuesday, and we were able to execute by Friday because of the content management system we had. With a system that we had thrown together, there would have been no way that we could do that. You know, they could think of something in 2 hours that took, you know, a great back-end system to accomplish. And you have to understand, again, what is your end goal and what do we want to do? In order to serve our ministry, we have to have a great system in place so that we can turn a solution on a dime. If we have an event that we want to advertise, if we want to have a great shopping cart, if we want to have these promotions and offers and things like that, we had to go through that process to make that system.
I know we're out of time, and I think you'll hear me push one more time in this direction. we talked about looking at your website as building a house. Think of it this way as well. Think of it as you're building a classroom. And we thought we would be remiss if we didn't mention this metaphor. When you think about your website, stop thinking about what you want to say. I mean, what you want to say is probably really important, don't get me wrong. But nobody is out there wondering, what do you got to say today? I just want to come out, I just want to find out what you got to say. Because I'm bored out of my mind, I just got so much time on my hands, I just want more people to talk to me about what they got to say. No one's out there doing that. Why do you go on the web? You go on the web because you're looking for something, right?
That's right.
And the question is, what are your users looking for? Because if you provide that, you find out what your audience is looking for, now you're going to start connecting with them because they're going to say, that's where I can get what I'm looking for. And what I mean by a classroom is this. When a teacher teaches class, they have a presentation. Your website will have a presentation of some type. It will present information. But the key to a great teacher is when that class starts to participate. And at the end of the presentation, the teacher says, now, class, I would like to know who here would like to go ahead and come up to the board and solve this problem, or to make a donation, or to sign up for my e-newsletter, or whatever. How do you allow your users to raise their hand in class? That's the question you want to answer. How many different ways can somebody raise their hand? I'd like to give. That's a pretty big raise of the hand, right? That's a big ask. But I'll sign up for your newsletter if it looks like I'm going to get something of value from it. Or I might be able to just comment on your Facebook page. That's raising my hand, right? All of these things are ways for people to give you permission to connect with them and to continue that conversation. That's the key to a great website, is to keep that cycle going. And that's why the media page on Bill Winston, I would bet, is probably the one of the most popular ones to hit. Why? Because that's what they're looking for, and that's how they're raising their hand. So.
Right.
And what you have to say is important, by the way.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So with the Bill Winston website, did you use there was no template involved?
No templates.
It was all design.
It was all design.
Okay.
And that's what this process here is, and I'd be happy to share it with you. And it was a design process, and one of the longer processes of creating that website was content gathering. It was content gathering. And that was one of the things that took us the longest part of getting the website completed, was content gathering.
So that gives you the flexibility you want.
Right. And because people, like Joe said, what are people coming there for? They have to come to the site not just to hear us talk. To them, they have to come there because there's something there that they want from that site.
And they can interact.
They can interact.
Flexibly.
Right, because there's millions of places people can go on the web. Why do they choose to come to your place?
Because there's an easy access.
Easy access, or there's something there that's feeding them. There's something that they want from that site. Right?
It has to be user-friendly.
It has to be user-friendly. Absolutely. They have to be able to navigate through that site. They have to be able to find that information. There has to be some resources on there that they want. They're coming there to get something.
So templates
right.
put that limitations there.
It does put that limitation because people want what they want when they want it, right? That's the society we live in. I want it now. I want it on my own terms, okay? Because if I can't get it from you, I'm going to go somewhere else and get it, right? So it has to be accessible.